That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind.
The heavenly choir you hear, telemetry from satellites, begins on October the 4th, 1957, with a simple birth cry of Soviet Union Sputnik 1. America's first successful satellite, Explorer 1, rises into the night sky on January the 31st, 1958. Radio Moscow, April 1961.
The air age was upon us.
His people and the world sing his praises while America waits and waits.
Our own space effort was characteristically diversified, ingenious, and scientifically profitable. Two Vanguard satellites went into orbit. So did 6 out of 8 Discoverers circling the Earth from pole to pole. Explorer 6, the paddle wheel satellite, and Explorer 7 went into orbit. Pioneer 7 passed the moon, unfortunately at too great a distance, and went into orbit around the sun. And monkeys Abel and Baker made their famous ride in the nose cone of a ballistic missile. But all these ingenious experiments only emphasize the mastery of the Russians over huge and powerful rockets suitable for space work. Dr. Wernher von Braun, the man who first put America into space, urged faster development of our own huge Saturn rocket, the million-pound thrust rocket which we hope will put us neck and neck with Russia. Dr. von Braun warned of Russian abilities.
I would caution that we have not seen the last of the Soviet space rockets either. The momentum they have built up in their program, the mass of experimental data they have acquired, will make possible other startling feats in the not-too-distant future. We have been told that the hammer and sickle flag has now been planted on the moon, and we have no reason to doubt it. I would not be at all surprised to be hearing a human voice from outer space that will have an unmistakable Russian accent.
Army General Medaris, retiring from his former job as von Braun's boss, decision and a little plain old-fashioned get up and go.
Now the question is, can we catch up? The only way, obviously, that we can catch up is to go faster than they go from here on, and I don't know how fast that is. So maybe we just better run like hell.
Shortly before this meeting with you, Mr. President, the Soviet scientists, engineers, technicians, and workers filled our hearts with joy by launching a rocket to the moon. We have no doubt that the excellent scientists, engineers, and workers of the United States of America who are engaged in the field of conquering the cosmos will also carry their pennant over to the moon. The Soviet pennant, as an old resident, will then welcome your pennant, and they will live there together in peace and friendship, as we should live together on Earth in peace and friendship, and as all people should live who inhabit our common Mother Earth, who is so generous to us all with her gifts.
Lenore Bailey.
Lieutenant Chuck Connor. Well, what are you doing in town?
Lenore Bailey, whatever prompted you to leave Mars?
Well, if you're referring to my outfit, it's a decontamination suit. Come on, jump in and drive me to CD Sector Headquarters.
Well, I don't know what my Earth girls will say, but you're up. Anybody else in that decontamination suit would look unbecoming, but On you, it looks awful.
Well, thank you.
You're being officially the most beautiful girl in the sister cities might have just appealed to his ego.
Well, we won't talk about it anymore. I'm a little surprised, that's all.
So was I, remember? And, are you happy inside of that radiation suit?
Oh, very much. I majored in science, you know, before I quit college. That's not what you meant, though.
Lenore Bailey, girl Geigerman. You know what I meant.
Dirty yellow fog on the river tonight. The cold, dirty fog. The weird yellow river. Listen.
The river's pretty close now.
A man dies. What of it? Thousands, millions, billions die bitterly in squalor and defeat. You're not important. You, Savetic, are merely another casualty of life. We're all casualties.
Yeah, you're right, Ravenel. We are all casualties eventually.
You're lucky. It'll soon be over for you. The rest of us. The walking wounded must go on living for a while.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You haven't heard?
Heard what?
The radio.
To annoy me, I know.
Sure, Mother. But keep the radio on, that's all.
You're not going to cut a party and break a date with Kip Sloan for any fool alert.
Well, I am as soon as I get the suit zipped.
Oh, that idiotic, ugly radiation suit. And that silly box. They're not fit for a young woman.
This silly box is a gamma survey meter. And it's as silly as a sailor learning to swim.
Get out of that suit this minute and fix your hair.
Listen to me, Mother. This is an official alert. We're to report with full equipment, and I'm late as it is.
Kip will be furious.
Well, that'll make two of you.
Well, what'll I tell him?
To keep the radio at 6:40 or 12:40 for emergency instructions.
Mother, see,
Oh!
You are crazy.
Perhaps a new breed shall spawn out of the clean oceans. But we must die to the last man.
You're crazy. You're all sick. You're insane.
Escape is a dream. It's too late. Stop here, driver.
The car stopped on a pier 15 feet above the river. I'm shoved and pushed out of the car. A nightmare. It's got to end. This can't be. Here I am, a yard from the edge of the pier, the black water lapping below us, the yellow fog floating around us. Be a dream, be a nightmare. End!
You do understand the need for all this, Savetti?
No! No!
We are dedicated to death, and in the end, even our own.
So that's your philosophy. Death for everything.
The only goal is death. All else is the means to that end. The destruction of this putrid society.
Listen.
Ready, Georgie?
Listen.
Now.
No. Oh, you don't. You're not going to murder me.
City, where there wasn't any civil defense, Jim and Ruth Williams barely heard the sirens from across the river. Where there was civil defense.
What do you think, Jim?
Well, what about?
There wasn't anything in the paper about a practice of virtues or anything. Turn on the radio, huh?
Well, let's see, 6:40 or 12:40, wasn't it?
Maybe I should get the baby. I know she's sleeping, but Chuck seems so sold on the possibility.
Chuck, he's army, dear. They've got to be sold.
And I repeat, this is Conrad. This is not a practice, not a drill. A condition of confidential alert.
There it was. Incredible and shattering. Conrad, the emergency broadcasting system, with the authenticity of an organized nightmare, was saying evenly that the atom was on the way. Homing on Green Prairie and River City.
Dear Father in Heaven, baby. Baby!
I don't believe it.
Test show how talk of the bomb upset school children.
Now tell us, John, where were you when the atomic bomb went off this morning?
Well, George, I was up in the radar tower watching from practically the highest point on the ship next to the crow's nest.
Well, you were up there somewhere where I was.
Exactly.
Okay, and did you wear your glasses when the bomb went off?
Yes, I wore sunglasses before, goggles during, and looked through binoculars.
Now, I understand that some of the boys aboard ship, some of the your shipmates, couldn't get glasses, and that they looked right into the bomb blast without their goggles on. Have you heard that?
Well, most of the boys who didn't have goggles didn't look at the blast. They covered their eyes with their arms and looked down at the deck.
Then you actually don't know of any fellows on board here who looked at the blast without
goggles or covering their eyes?
No, I haven't questioned them on that. Well, what did you think of the blast? Was it up to what you expected or more?
He saw a tiny purple doll of a young woman fall. and 100 people instantly using her body as a step to the tops of the cars. Here and there, a round scarlet blob was a department store Santa Claus, clawing for his life. The siren moaned to still us, but there was no peace. From the street came a continuous shriek of thousands of men, women, children, slowly dying, slowly being broken to bits. The fused, fucking outcries of many agonies rising as one hideous cry.
It is given by the men who carried this revolutionary new instrument over Japan and unleashed its fury squarely on the militarized city of Hiroshima. Back safely at their base, they report the blast, first of its kind in all the long history of warfare, was tremendous and awe-inspiring, and that the destruction must have been extensive. From their modest words, it's clear that this historic mission was a complete success.
It came slanting down toward him. The long, slim, steely, monstrous dart cannonading down the sky to target zero.
There it is.
In the days just prior to VE Day, Allied divisions in Germany began meeting the most extreme victims of fascism. Out of death factories, there began to emerge the living, stumbling ghosts of Buchen, Dachau, Dachau, and Belgium. And a new set of initials joined our language. DPs. Albert Einstein, German refugee. G, class of 33. Enrico Fermi, Italian exile, class of 38, might well have been among them, and we might have lost the battle of the atomic scientists, which had its climax on the island of Tinian on August 6th, 45. Now you are at the world's largest airfield on Tinian in the Marianas. The voice you hear is that of Chaplain William Downey, who stood amongst the target charts, the escape kits, and the stale coffee, and said a prayer for the Enola Gay and civilization.
We pray thee that the end of the war may come soon, and that once more we may know peace on earth. May the men who fly this night be kept safe in thy care, and may they be returned safely to us. We shall go forward, trusting in thee, knowing that we are in thy care now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
The bomb run lasted 4 minutes. Bomb went away at 9:15.
my God. My God. My God. The only human being on the whole planet's died. 78,150 people died at Hiroshima.
Case 7, age 35. Normal systolic triple rhythm, mitral area. The loudest sound being the second heart sound. Case 8, age 52, recent cardiac infarction with mid-diastolic gallop rhythm.
In the wee hours of the morning, when everything is still, I lay staring at the darkness, trying to find the will, only to be plagued by roaches, scorpions, and mice, not to mention politics, that's a big cockatrice. The light became morning, the morning became day. Speaking for myself, I wish the darkness had stayed. The morning became evening, the sun is going down, but equality and justice is nowhere to be found. Of all these plagues, I've had my fill, even in the wee hours of the morning, when everything is still. Went to the elders to see if I could arrange some peace in this neighborhood. I call on the youths because they are strong. The desire was, let us make man. If the youth of today is the man of tomorrow, why not start thinking of each one's sorrow? To covet is to envy, to envy is to lust. Make good living your elders, elders, see if you can.
Okay.
For all these youths, you must understand. Don't you think it's a crying shame?
Charlie Brown, Houston, he got the burn off. We're in good shape.
Engine command override off. Engine arm off.
413 is in. We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
It is a long early morning on the moon, but on the busy Earth, time seems to stop as 600 million human beings share the greatest drama, watching and listening as Neil Armstrong opens the hatch and starts down the ladder. Aldrin guides him from above.
How am I doing?
You're doing fine.
Okay, Houston, I'm on the porch.
Roger, Neil. And we're getting a picture on the TV, so we can see you coming down the ladder now.
I'm at the foot of the ladder. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. There seems to be no difficulty in moving around as we suspected. Quite dark here in the shadow and a little hard for me to see that I have good footing. It has a stark beauty all its own. It's like much of the high desert of the United States.
Okay, ready for me to come out?
Okay, you're right at the edge of the porch.
It's a very simple matter to hop down from one step to the next.
Beautiful
view. Yeah.
Isn't that something? Magnificent sight out here.
Magnificent desolation.
We'll read the plaque that's on the front landing gear of this limb. It says, "Dear men from the planet Earth, first set foot upon the moon, July 1969, it came in peace for all mankind."
We have reached the moon and looked beyond it to our fellow planets of the solar system. But the best view of all is back toward the Earth and the essential brotherhood of all of the men upon it. Tomorrow, together, where might we not go?
The air age was upon us.
Dr. Lister says that a quarter of the babies by raid mothers don't quite make the grade. I'm afraid I caught some of the irradiation, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, 75% is passing.
So.
Today, a new and wonderful announcement was made. The launching of the third Soviet space rocket will, without doubt, enrich science with new and unique information about the universe and to the stars. The Soviet people are at a rapid pace reaching interplanetary space.
The day after this boast, this correspondent interviewed Dr. Herbert York, the Defense Department's Director of Research, and asked him how the United States might put on a burst of speed and catch up to the Russian drive into space. Dr. York's answer was characteristically blunt.
Gentlemen, three possibilities face us. The first is surrender. Second, we can continue our assault on the enemy. I assure you he is suffering severely. In time, our effort may be as effective as his own. Meanwhile, his assaults will continue. In the end, civilization itself may be ended. There is a third alternative. For years, a United States fleet submarine has been in readiness, converted to the most immense thermonuclear bomb ever assembled. She is at this moment lying submerged in the North Sea awaiting orders. The detonation of this appalling weapon would utterly devastate the enemy. It involves grave risks, but against these is the certainty of world domination by a single despotic power. Now, this is not a decision to be reached out of sheer vengeance or death agony. We must decide quickly how much we esteem the world we live in and how courageously we'll face the controversy that will rage about this decision to the end of history. Now, think, gentlemen.